Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
I love bread. I grow up eating bread. And a few weeks ago, I was working 7 days a week since December till almost by the end of January. And I usually snore, but I was snoring more than ever, like a black bear. I was snoring so bad that my wife had to wake up and go to sleep to the family room every day, every night. So I decided to go to the doctor. I went to the doctor, he checked up on me and said, well, I don't see nothing. That I was ready to get, you know, the mask or the machine, you know, to try to sleep better. He said, but let's make some blood tests and come back in 2 weeks. A few weeks ago, I went back over there. The doctor said, pretty much everything is good on you. All you need is go walk 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and you could be, you know, doing better. And I didn't. And he helped me out. He didn't snore too much no more. What it was, I was lack of rest. Need to rest a little bit more. I was working 7 days in between my secular job in church. You know, I was busy. I'm still busy. Still. But thank God I'm not working 7 days no more. I can rest a little bit more on Saturday morning. I wake up like yesterday by 10:30. Thank God. Hallelujah. That's the only day I can wake up early. But I went to the gym, started walking. I used my treadmill, put them on hill, and helped me out sleep better. So I went back to get my result for the blood test, and the doctor said, everything looked good, but there's a few warnings. Your potassium is a little bit high, not too high that you need medication. But I told him, well, I eat banana every day. I love banana. He said, I know, we're Dominican. My doctor is Dominican. He's over here on La Palco, on Ashner. He said, I know, we're Dominican. We love to eat banana. We love to eat rice, bread, every day. I said, but you have to control your rice, and you have to control the way you eat bread. I said, really? But I don't eat French bread. I eat wheat bread. He said, it's bread. It doesn't matter. I said, what? You're killing me. Thank God he didn't say you don't have to eat it. He only said you have to control. Well, in the morning before I go to work, I was making me a sandwich. We do a slice of wheat bread and one slice of cheese. No butter, no nothing. Toasted with our oatmeal, and I love that. So I had to cut it out and use it one slice of wheat bread. Sometimes my oatmeal, but most of the time with my coffee, trying to get, you know, I don't want to get to the point. He told me, you're not diabetic yet, not even pre, but you're close to. If you control everything, that's going to help you out. You need to do some exercise. 6 months from now, we're going to check up on you again. If everything is fine, it's going to be fine. My whole, those numbers drop a little bit more. They won't be perfect, but they can drop a little bit more. So, you know, it was hard for me. I love bread. I grew up eating bread. I don't know if inside of my mom I used to eat bread. Probably she used to give me bread. I love bread. And inside when they, it's not prohibited for me, not yet. Not yet. They only told me reduce. But it's sad. There's a lot of people that they can't eat bread. Who love pizza? Oof. I can eat pizza every day. Every day. I love, but I don't eat no more like I used to. Before I go to the doctor, I was eating a lot of pizza. You know, with a youth over there every Friday, they always bring pizza, hot dog, and still bread. You know, the bone with a hot dog is bread. And I love it. Like, who don't like? Tell me, who's the American that doesn't like hot dog? You don't like hot dog? You're not American. You're from Guatemala. I know that. Yeah, we love all that. But, you know, it's sad when they tell you you can't eat this. When they prohibit it, something that you like, it, that you love. But you know what? There's one bread. Believe it or not, there's one bread that nobody can prohibit it to you. In fact, it's recommended to you. Do you know that? Pastor, what kind of bread are you talking about? I'm talking the living bread, Jesus Christ. That's healthy for our life, especially for a spiritual life. You know that? The Bible shows you that. If you help me out right there, if you join me on John chapter 6, verse 25 to 35, we're going to understand that. We're going to listen to that. That's a necessary bread. You know that? Tell the person next to you, Jesus is a necessary bread. I didn't hear that. Tell the person next to you, Jesus is a necessary bread. Do you believe that? Help me out right there. Let's get a stand. Help me read the Bible. John chapter 6, verse 25 to 35. At the count of three, you going to help me out? Will you help me out? Will you? Amen. One, two, and three. When they found him, or the other, Jesus answered them, the word of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So they said to him, what then did you do for son, so that we might see and believe you? What word do you perform? Wow. Our father ate the manna. Out of heaven we. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly I said to you, this is not Moses who has said, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread of heaven. And give it back for her. Then they said to him, Lord, always give the bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Come to me with no hunger. And he who believes, Holy and Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity you give us to come close to you. Father, to present to you our soul, our mind, and to be transformed by your Holy Spirit and by your words. Oh, Father, we pray this morning that this holy bread that you send to this world can fill our hunger. Father, that your Son, through your word, can work in our life and be transformed and be more to the form of your Son. Father, we pray this morning that your name will lift up on high, that your name be exalted, that your name be praised. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Like I said, there's a prayer that is not prohibited for nobody. That's Jesus. You know that? That's the only bread you can eat at any time. That's the only bread you can come to 24/7. That's the only bread that nobody going to tell you that's enough. It's more than enough. And going to be healthy. That's going to affect your spiritual life. Yeah, it's going to affect. It's going to help you on your spiritual life. You know that? Yeah. That's the only bread that is not prohibited so far. There are places that were yet. Talk about Jesus is prohibited. There are places in this world that if you talk about Jesus, it can cost your life. Do you know that? Thank God that ain't happened yet in America. Amen. We got to take advantage of it. We got to take advantage of that. We can still share God's word with anybody and we don't have no problem. We can praise the Lord that we can come to our Bible, that you can read your Bible any word still. Still, but it will come the time that you won't be able to do that no more. You know that? But meantime, take advantage of that. Read your Bible, the word, whatever you can. You know, you got to be fitting with this word, with this bread. This bread right here is life. And thank God, you know, that we can come to him, that we can feed. You know, what happened here, what we read a while ago, it was right after Jesus fed the multitude. He fed, the Bible said, 5,000 men, that not counting women and kids. You can't imagine. Back on the time, people didn't control that. You can't imagine how many kids probably was in a family. if it's nowadays, still there's a family, they don't care if they have 5, 7, even 10 kids. You can imagine back on that time when there's no pill control, when nobody didn't care. Because my grandpa's brother Ray, and he got a bunch of, you know, call. All I got to do is go over there, get the meal and all that. You don't have to worry about nothing. It was a blessing. But you can't imagine how many people he really feed when he filled the multitude. And right after that happened, the people was looking for him. But just because what he did, they've been looking for physical bread. They've been looking to their need, be satisfied. And Jesus was telling, you're wrong. You're not looking for me for the right reason. And we know that. That happened. Look. Nowadays, Jesus wants to satisfy our hunger with the living bread. And what can we do? What we got to do is look Jesus for the right reason. That's what we got to do. Find him for the right reason. The multitude, they know that Jesus left because they've been looking on him on a boat, but he wasn't there. They say, well, if he's not on a boat, he should be around here. And they've been looking for him. They've been looking for something else. That's what the Bible shows right there. But Jesus asked the answer to them, you're looking for me because I satisfy your need, your physical need, because I give you bread, because I multiply the fish in the bread. And that's not the reason why we got to look for the Lord. There's more than that. We already going to be hungry. It doesn't matter what we eat right now. It doesn't matter how full you are right now. But there probably later on, probably after lunch, maybe tonight you're going to be hungry again. You know that. But if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you never be hungry again. We have to learn that. Look, right there, it looks like nowadays, you know, there's so many people, they look Jesus for the wrong reason. You know, there's people, not over here in Greatna, neither shall me. Yeah, thank God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That people come over here really to look a relationship with Christ. Amen. Say it aloud, amen. Hey, amen. Hallelujah. But you know, there's people, they come into church because they need a God favor. You know that? Well, Lord, you know, my kids, my daughter, my son, they sick and you to healing them. Well, I need to come over here and I got to pray because I lost my job. I need a job. And let me tell you what, there's nothing wrong to pray, to come to the Lord and ask, you know, yeah, for those needs. Yeah, there's nothing wrong. If you don't have a word, we got to provide for our family, right? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. He's our provider. He's everything in my life. You see right there? Jesus is, for me, is everything in my life. I don't know about you. Jesus is before my family. He's everything in my life. I can't describe it. There's no word to describe what is Jesus really in my life. I don't know about you, but for me, he is everything. I can say he's my love. I can say he's my provider. He's my healer. He's my, he's everything. That's why I come to him. Not because he provides for me and my family, but because he provides something better than that. He provides for me salvation. You know how many people come into church and say, Lord, I come into you because, you know, I need to get my paper straight. I need a green card. Nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong. It's good to be straight. You can get a driver license. You can get a good job. Yeah, you won't have no problem. They pull you over. Let me show you your green card. It's good to have it. You know, nothing wrong with it. There's a lot of people, Lord, you know, that my relationship with my husband, with my wife is not working. And we need you. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining that you come in and ask the Lord for that. No. But that shouldn't be the only reason why we're trying to find Jesus. Amen. We got to come into him for the right reason. The people right there, they've been looking for Jesus. They've been looking for him because when they were hungry, he gave them bread. He gave them fish. Who don't like seafood? You don't like seafood? I love seafood. I can eat seafood every day. Fish, oh my God. I come in from an island surrounded by water. And it's not too easy to get, don't get me wrong, it's not too easy to get seafood over there. But every time we can get it, oh, we love it. Who didn't eat crawfish on lately? Oh, I love it. Last Saturday, not yesterday, last Saturday, my brother-in-law, he bought 60 pounds of crawfish. You can imagine, 60 pounds of crawfish with a bunch of potato and corn. Oh my God. I ate so much that I couldn't stand up or to see before after that. Yeah, we like to eat. We love to eat, and it's good, you know. But the people over here, they've been looking Jesus that for the only reason. They didn't care for eternal life. They only care for the present life, and that's wrong. This life in this earth is temporary. Do you know that? Yeah, everyone over here will perish. Well, we got to prepare for our future, for eternal life. Who want to spend eternal life with Jesus? You got to prepare here. We got to look him for the right reason. You can focus and get a best job in your life. You can focus and get everything that you want. But you know what? Eventually, when we pass from this life to the another one, everything going to stay. That mansion that you want to have, and probably you have it, that boat, that nice car, everything when you pass away, going to stay here. All the money that you say working like crazy, that sometimes you don't have time to go to church on Sunday because you'd rather to work than come in a church, ain't going to stay here. Maybe your kids going to kill each other for that money while you pass away. Yeah, believe me. You don't know how many people I know that happened. Yeah. What the Bible said, that money is the root of every evil. The love in the money. Not the money. Don't get me wrong. Not the money. Because if you bring me $100, you think Pastor Emilio going to say, oh, no, no, that's it. No. Oh, my brother. Thank you, brother. I love you. I will tell you that. Yeah. Money is good. We need that money. But the love in the money, what is, you know, is the root of every evil. That's what the Bible says. And like we read over here, we got to find Jesus for the right reason. Be careful. Be careful how you approach, how you come into church, and why you come into church. There's so many reasons why we come into church. I love to be in church, not because I'm a pastor and I got to preach. I love to see people. You don't know how I feel when I see people that I saw last Sunday or that I saw the youth Friday, this Friday. I feel glad. I don't know you. I feel happy when I see people there. I come in and hug and kiss from the bottom of my heart. You know, I love those people. I love you people. I don't know if you love me or you hate me when I come over here, but I'm going to still love you anyway. I don't care. I have to. Amen, brother. I love you three. You know, three mean I love you more, you know. That's what I tell my daughter. Papi, I love you, but I love you the most. And we all got an argument. No, I love you. No, I love you the most. No matter what, I love you the most. But yes, we got to come into church because of Jesus. After that, anything else, yeah, that's extra. Anything else, yeah, because I want to see Brother Ed. Yeah, we go. We have fun every time we see each other. Yeah, that's fine. But the first and the main reason got to be Jesus. Amen. Let work our eternal life. We have to. Yeah. You know, on chapter 27, we read over there. He said, the one that the Son of God will give you to you, he will give it to you. There's a lot of people that confuse. There's a lot of religious that confuse that the only way you can go to heaven is because your word. They wrong. It's by grace and grace alone in Jesus Christ. Amen. But of course, when we receive Jesus, God's grace, of course, we got to work on that. How we got to work? You got to express. There's something that will motivate it to do good work and good word deed. Amen? When Jesus Christ comes to your life, he going to change your life. Before you know Jesus Christ, you will die. You say, oh, Brother Ray needs $20 to put gas on his truck to go to work. He got to go to work if he want $20 before. Well, now one day, if Jesus Christ lives in your life, the eternal life, the whole eternal life come to you, transform your life. You say, Brother Roy, need $20 to put gas? I only got $50. Doesn't matter. The Lord can provide. Here we go, Brother Ray. But I only need $20. Keep the rest. That's working for eternal life. Not because of this, you're going to get eternal life, but because the hope in eternal life is working in you. Amen? You see the difference? It's not what you do to get eternal life, but it's what you do after you hope is on eternal life. Amen? And these people, they've been wrong. They've been wrong. And there's a lot of religion nowadays that they believe you gotta do good work to get to heaven. The Bible said there's only one name above all name where man can find salvation, Jesus Christ. He don't say it. In what you do that's going to bring you to heaven, it's only through Jesus Christ, our daily bread, our spiritual bread. Ephesians chapter 2, 9 says, chapter 2, verse 9 says, not by word so that no one can boast. You see, it's not by word. It's by Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. When we get into relationship with God, when we realize that we are sinners and that we need Jesus to transform our life, that's the only way we can get God's grace. But of course, when we get God's grace, something got to work on our life. Let me tell you what. When you get something that you like I said, let's say a good word, and you see people that you love, you will love for them to get a good job like the one you have, right? If you get a new car, you will like other people that you love get a new car like you, right? I don't know. I know how many parents we have here. Parents, we want the best for our kids, right? In fact, the older car in my house is mine. My wife's car is newer than mine. Emily, Eileen, they got newer car than mine. Because we want the best for them, you know? We want the best for them. But we got to work for that. In Jesus, but in the spiritual, it's way different. We don't have to work to get God's grace. We got to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? And repent our sin. Repent. May Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. There's a lot of people that only want Jesus as their Savior, but they don't want Jesus to be their Lord. You know what I mean, Lord? That you got to submit your life to His will. That you got to obey His will, not your own will, but His will. That's what it is about it. Look, James chapter 2, 26 says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without this is dead. We got to work our faith. We got to work our eternal life. We won't get eternal life, don't forget, just because what you do. But after you got your hope on eternal life, something got to work on you. You got to work out in you. People need to know that Jesus is living in you. People need to know that there's a new life in your life. That there's something new in you. That's the way that we can work our faith. When we share God's word. When we know somebody is lost. And we got to present Jesus Christ as the only hope to salvation. Know that salvation is only obtained by the undeserving favor of God. Look, chapter 29 and 29. Don't forget, know by word. But we have to know that it's something that we don't deserve. God's grace is something that we don't deserve. Tell the person next to you, it's something that we don't deserve. I want to hear you. Yeah, we don't deserve God's grace. We don't. If I ask you what you do to deserve God's grace, nothing. Oh, no, Pastor, you know, when I see people on the street that they need, they're hungry, I'll buy them food. That doesn't mean nothing. It's good. But not by this, you're going to be, not because of that, you deserve God's grace. Not because of that. Not really. And we got to be careful. God's grace is something that we don't deserve. The Bible said on Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that because of our sin, we are away from God. So that means that since we born, we are away from God. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can reach God's grace. That's the only way we can get it. Something that we don't deserve. It's a gift. It's something that we don't deserve, but God's grace comes to us just by Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's work eternal life. I told you, know that salvation is only obtained by Jesus Christ. But we must never doubt about God. Those people, they doubt about God. How do I know? They ask Jesus to do something. You know, there's a lot of people, it's sad that there's a lot of people in church that they know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. Did you know that? Yeah. There's a lot of people in church, they don't know Jesus. They come into church, but not over here. That's other churches outside here. Yeah, out here. Yeah, it's sad. Those people, they saw what Jesus did, and they didn't believe in him. They didn't believe what Jesus, you know, they believed what he was doing, but they didn't believe in him. And there's a lot of people nowadays the same way. They come into church, but they don't believe in God. That's why we see a lot of stuff happen in church, and we get, really? But he was in church every Sunday. How can he do that? Because he didn't believe. He was coming to church, but he didn't believe in God. That's what happened. Those people, they didn't believe in God. They doubt about it. You know, and this happened every day, more and more. When Jesus, he noticed that was happening. He in chapter verse 20, in verse 29, we know when he said that we got to believe in the one that the Father sent. He was that bread that the Father sent. Jesus is the bread that he sent. They said, well, but Moses, listen to this. They believe that Moses was the one who brought the manna, the bread. But it wasn't him. It was God. That was a kind of Jewish tradition that they believed that Moses was the one who brought the manna. He provided the manna for them. He asked the Lord, but he wasn't the provider. God was the provider. Know where the true bread comes from. The only true bread comes from God. We know that. We know that through the Bible. We know that through what we read a while ago. It's only God our provider. God sent his begotten Son for those who believe in him have eternal life. You see the difference? You can ask the Lord to provide, but he is our provider. God wants us to be filled with a truly bread. He wants everybody to be full. We want to feel your hunger. But like I said again, if you don't look for it, if you don't get into a relationship with Jesus Christ, how can we feel? How can we feel? How can we be filled? It's only through Jesus Christ. We have to come into here. Look, in verse 33, he said, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The bread that God sends his Son is the only one that can give life to the world. He's the only one that can provide eternal life. The bread that we eat over here, yeah, it helps us. When we're hungry, yeah, it's going to satisfy our hunger. But like I said again, temporarily, not forever. You can't eat a Cuban sandwich now. What time it is? A few minutes after 10? Probably about 1 o'clock, you'll be hungry again. But when you feed your soul with Jesus Christ, the bread that God sent from heaven, it's going to be fulfilled forever. Amen. Look, the true bread provides eternal life. That's what he said right there. The true bread provides eternal life. People confuse, and he had to, even the devil confused, and he tried to confuse Jesus. Let me tell you what. On Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the devil was trying to tempt Jesus. And he said, well, if you are the Son of God, may this stone become a bread. He said, hold on, wait a minute. He said, but not every word that comes from the mouth of God, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see the difference? You see? We need to feed our soul with this bread every day. Every day. Friday, we have an activity like the one you had over here. We got a game. We call it the hot potato. We got a ball. We make a circle, you know, and we got a ball. We got to pass around. We got some music. We're music and stop. If you was holding the ball when the music stopped, you got to say a Bible verse. And you guess what? We enjoy. We have fun. But it was sad that the youngster, they read more Bible than adult. It was proved. Every time we act to one of the youngsters, they can say a Bible verse. They can say, well, and believe it or not, they said, John 3:16, this. John, and they said, John 3:16. They said the chapter, the book, and the verse. When we act to the adult, some of them say, no, I go see by myself and get out of the circle. It's sad that we're not feeding our soul with this bread. It's sad. We have to know that the true bread provides eternal life. And that bread is Jesus Christ. We have to start feeding our soul with God's word. We have to start feeding our soul with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I ask the church nowadays, how are we doing with our relationship with Christ? What are we doing? How are we spending our time on TV, social media? You can imagine that you can spend at least half of the time that you spend in social media reading your Bible every day. Wow. The devil not even will think about to get close to you. You know that? The devil will flee away from, oh, Brother Raul, no. We cannot even look over there. Leave the man alone. That man is strong. He's stronger than Papa with his Bible. You can imagine if we do that. We need to do that more often. We need to start doing that. Church, it's time to start getting prepared for eternal life. And it's got to be here. You remember what I said before, that this life, I call it the main camp, where we are on practice, where we are preparing for our next life. But we got to start now. This is the time.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.